You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon.
Welcome back, folks.
And we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns.
We'll go to a video here in the first five. Open up for calls in the last hour. One of the troubling things about what's going on in the UK is the advent of pre-crime. If they think you might do something, then they'll be arresting you. Pre-crime, this Orwellian concept, is not UK exclusive. In fact, it exists in a primordial form here in America. Let's go to clip number 11 here. This is Whitney Webb talking about the pre-crime policies put into place here in America. Let's watch.
Shooters before they can shoot, before they can commit a crime.
No way.
So it was overtly calling for pre-crime. At the same time, Bill Barr legalized pre-crime by creating a Department of Justice program called DEEP that actually has arrested people for Facebook posts.
No, D-E-E-P, DEEP.
It's called, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a real program, and so, it's still on the books.
So Bill Barr,
at the same time, he was trying to eliminate encryption also, or at least get a government backdoor into devices that use encryption. And then shortly thereafter, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, along with a close friend of Trump, who's the former head of NBC Universal, Bob Wright, were trying to get Trump to create a new agency called HARPA, a health DARPA. And the first program of that they pitched was called Safe Homes, which is an acronym for something else. And what they wanted to do there was data mine American social media accounts, as well as extract information from Amazon Echoes, Google Home, Fitbits, and Apple Watches,
Jesus.
And run it through AI to identify if you've been saying something that shows early signs of neuropsychiatric violence. And then based on that, determine if you need to go to a court-ordered physician visit, if you need to be put under house arrest or anything, or put in preventative detention.
So
this is something that they were talking about back then. And even though Trump allegedly loved the idea, he didn't make HARPA. But you know who made HARPA? Joe Biden did. He called it ARPA-H, just moved the H to the end. But it's the same program, the same people.
So
are behind it. So this is a bipartisan agenda to try and use our online activity against us. And there needs to be awareness about it because it's really the only way we can stop it. They have our data. They've had our data. And they've been profiling us with Palantir. They couldn't do it without Palantir. And something needs to be said and something needs to be done. And the fact that there's so many Trump supporters backing this when they're likely, make up the bulk of the list, people that own guns and like care about the Constitution and all this stuff are going to be the people that the federal government doesn't like. And if you look at the Biden administration's framework for the war on domestic terror, which has been developed by every administration in the post 9/11 era, they make it very clear that domestic terrorists, their definition of it includes people on the left and the right, people that oppose all forms of capitalism. That includes the WEF's favored stakeholder capitalism or crony capitalism, anything in that, people that are extreme environmentalists, people that oppose perceived government overreach. All of this is considered enough to get you to be considered a threat by the federal government. And this is a national security state apparatus out of control. And I would argue that, with Trump and J.D. Vance, they are trying to sell themselves as anti-establishment, potentially libertarian and populist. And that is not what these companies are. The fact that Trump is taking money from Palantir and Palantir co-founders, whether it's Peter Thiel or Joe Lonsdale, is very alarming. And their potential influence on the vice presidential pick is also very alarming. Because if people care about reigning in the surveillance state or stopping the war on domestic terror, they should be outraged by this, because ultimately what these campaigns are is a way to stifle dissent. And that's what they've been from the very beginning. When you look back at their how it started, during the Iran-Contra era, very alarming stuff. And so I think the more people know about this, the more we can do to stop it.
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff. It's not just coming here. It is here. And nothing in the future makes it look like it's going to get any better. We'll take your calls on all of these topics on the other side. Stay with us, folks. It's American Journal, InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com to support us. The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Dive deep into the stories the mainstream media won't touch. This is the American Journal.
I'll tell you, folks. Something else, watching a nation die. Watching a country die. It's horrible. It's certainly how it feels now. This just in from today. London police say a girl and a woman were stabbed in the busy theater district and a man is arrested. An 11-year-old girl and a 34-year-old woman were stabbed Monday in London's busy theater district and a man was arrested, the Metropolitan Police said, adding there was no indication this attack was terror-related, which I can tell you right now means that this was a Muslim immigrant. I can tell you that right now. They haven't done any investigation. Why they would need to come out and say there's no indication this is terrorism related. And it's kind of like, you know, what we said about Thomas Crooks, the assassination, the attempted assassin of Trump. When they say he has foreign accounts, it's like, okay, well, if it was Iran or Russia, they would say that. So you can glean a lot from, you can understand reality from the lies of the mainstream media when you ask what they're leaving out, what they're not saying, why they're saying certain things that we know to be untrue. So I know nothing about this. I literally saw this 30 seconds ago and somebody linked it on X. And having just read that first sentence, I already know some certain things, right? I'm going to say that this was certainly not a native British white person who did this, because that would be the headline, obviously, right? An English person at all, if this was an English individual did this, it would be far right stabbing. Okay, so just all I know about this is an 11-year-old girl and a 34-year-old woman were stabbed Monday in London's busy theater district and a man was arrested, adding there's no indication the attack was terror related. Knowing just that about this event, I'm telling you right now, both women were white. The stabber was foreign. And I think that's all I can glean from now, for now. But that's what we know from this headline. The attack occurred outside a tea shop in Leicester Square, a magnet for tourists with its shops, theaters, and cinemas. The square and surrounding area have an estimated 2.5 million visitors every week. Well, for now. That's what I mean by like a country dying, a nation dying. Who's going to want to go visit London? Like, it's been inaccurate for years, the vision of the UK, but it still existed in foreign people's minds. You know, Harry Potter. You know, London being this beautiful international city, safe and clean. And I mean, that illusion has been shattered. Like, who would want to go visit the UK right now? What landmark could you visit and not be at risk of being stabbed to death by an insane Rwandan? Let's see what else we know. The victims were taken to a major trauma center. The girl required treatment, but her life was not in jeopardy, police said. The women's injuries were less serious. The stabbing occurred during a recent rise in knife crime in Britain, which is on edge after days of violence as crowds spouting anti-immigrant and Islamophobic slogans clashed with police. The disturbance has been fueled by right-wing activists who use social media to spread misinformation about a mass stabbing that killed three girls during a Taylor Swift-themed dance event. It was not clear if Monday's attack had any link to the unrest. Well, if it was a white person that done it, then they would be saying far-right attack, knife attack in London. So, again, it's like, I mean, just even this article, right? You've got a mass stabbing, killing three little girls. Now a stabbing against another little girl and a woman in the middle of, you know, a high-end London neighborhood. And that's not the thing that they want you focused on. They spend the majority of that article talking about supposedly totally unrelated far-right riots with people shouting Islamophobia at police. So you've got two horrific knife attacks actually injuring and killing innocent people, but their focus and their main thing that they want you to focus on are the people shouting at police for not protecting them from the knife attacks. Just ridiculous. Is this a video report from the Leicester Square? Okay, can we pull that video in? And I want to hear how this, you know, how this happened. You know, maybe it was just one of those typical, maybe, you know, maybe they were just at, the, maybe it was a controversy over the tea, you know? They're at a high-end fancy tourist trap tea shop. Maybe one of them wanted Earl Grey. Another one wanted chamomile. Maybe this was just, you know, a couple Londoners, your typical London tea fight. Yeah, totally outrageous. I'm going to take your calls on all of the goings-on around the world right now. To give us a call, the number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. What's up? The clip ready? All right, let's go to this clip. Stabbing in Leicester Square, in the UK. Here's an eyewitness account. Let's see what he says.
I heard a scream, and the moment I saw it, there was one person, roughly along maybe like mid-30s or early-30s, and he was like stabbing a kid. Yeah, so I saw that he was stabbing a kid. I jumped on him, hold the hand in which he wasn't having a knife, and I just put him down on the floor and just hold him and kick the knife away from him. And then a couple of more people joined as well, and we just hold him until the police came. Wow. It took like maybe 3 to 4 minutes, police arrived, and then they just took him into the custody. And the child, just like all my colleagues, they gave him first aid, and in the meantime, the police came as well, and they just gave the first aid.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. So you might have saved a life today.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. And
I just saw a kid who was getting stabbed, and I just like tried to save her.
You just ran out of the shop and tried to save the child?
Yeah, I don't know. There were how many family members are there, mom, I just saw a kid being attacked, and it was my duty to just save them.
Were the children, were the tourists getting involved as well in trying to help?
No, I haven't seen any tourists.
Wow, so that dude actually grabbed the knife and kicked the knife away. That's pretty incredible. So no further information, no description, but you can tell that interview was edited a little bit. But hey, it'll just keep happening. It'll just keep happening. I'm sure, you know, the stabbing will somehow, in some weird form of media alchemy, will be translated into, you know, an even greater push to arrest far-right rioters. Just completely insane. Really is. There's so many other things to talk about as well. But I guess, you know, one video that I've been seeing, this is clip number 14. This was posted with the statement, I'm pretty sure I'll share this video. The British Stasi will try to extradite me. Let's go now to clip 14. Here's some of the Muslims running around rioting. Stomping on a car. And there you see, look, a mother and a daughter clutching each other as they flee from this mob. The Muslims, yeah, just attacking random people. in a totally unrelated story about a stabbing in Leicester Square, however you pronounce it. They make half of the story or more about far-right riots causing trouble, where meanwhile, practically every video out of the UK that actually shows violence are Muslim gangs running around just beating people viciously. Clip number three is more of the same. Muslim immigrants with golf clubs stalk British families. Watch that. Here you go. This is what's happening in the UK right now. Just Muslims taking over streets, wielding weapons, and attacking random people. Including stabbing little girls. And there are the police standing there, letting them do it. Just watching them walk around, literally wielding golf clubs against UK citizens. Police are just standing there. Well, if the white people ever fight back, we'll get involved. We're just here to make sure everything stays safe, so you attack people with the golf club. And as soon as the white people do anything other than run away, we'll get involved. Don't worry, we're here to make sure everything stays safe. And remember, that was what he said to the Muslim people in the mosque. He's like, you just drop your mosque, you drop your weapons off at the mosque. We're just here to make sure everything stays safe while they are actively committing violence. So what they mean is that if anybody tries to stop you, we will intervene. If anybody fights back, then it will be an issue for us. But as long as it's just the Muslims, just the immigrant community committing mass violence against anybody they come across, that's not a problem for them. That's not violence. That's not, you know, disorder that they need to get involved in. It's only when the white people push back. So I just want, you know, this is just a lesson to all the UK. If we can go back to clip 14 here and just pause it in the very beginning, I want to let you know who's doing something right in this situation. So let's go to 14. Let's play it. And we can pause it right about there. Okay, see these two women with the masks running away? That's the proper reaction for UK citizens. These are upstanding UK citizens. You don't fight back. You don't hang around. You don't have a right to be here. This isn't your country anymore. You clutch each other and you flee. Okay? That's the only appropriate response to the mobs of violent Muslims running a rampage through your city streets. These posh English women just clutching each other and running away. Forget the lion. Forget the bulldog. We have a new logo, a new icon, a new mascot for the UK. It's women and children. It's young white women and young white girls running away in front of a mob of black-clad, masked Muslims committing open violence with the police right there, letting them do it. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible stuff. We'll go to clip 12 here. This is a citizen of the UK saying he thinks civil war is inevitable. I think it's already over and you've lost, actually. Actually, I think the civil war has come and gone, and you are now an occupied civilization from a foreign power. I mean, you are, you know, the South during Sherman's March. Like, it's over. They're just abusing you to death now. So, that civil war that you're looking forward to has come and gone, my friend. And you lost completely. It was an information war. And now it's just the dividing of the spoils between your conquerors. Let's go to clip number 12.
A lot of these migrants are coming in and people are saying they feel like they're being replaced. And the veterans that fought for you guys are on the streets while migrants get put up in hotels. How does that make you feel?
Obviously, we're not happy about it. We've got nothing about migration. We're not against migration. We're about controlling our borders. If I was to go to another country, I would be vetted. And if I'd been in trouble before or had any past history, I wouldn't be allowed in. We're not about anti-immigration. We're about controlling the migration. And if we don't take control of the migration, we're going to be outnumbered in our own country. We will no longer be a Christian country. We'll be controlled by an Islamic movement. That's what is worrying and concerning. £29 million spent on illegal immigrants in the last 18 months, all aged between 20 and 30, fighting age. No women, no children, put up in 4 or 5 star hotels. But yet there's veterans on our street, homeless, on the street. It's all wrong. It needs to be put right. The government needs to be outed. If we have to issue Article 61 on common law, then so be it. We will do it. That's what's happening next if they don't listen. We will not comply.
You believe
next time.
A civil war is on the rise?
A civil war is inevitable. It will happen if they don't listen. 100%. We're not messing about. Yeah, they need to listen. They need to wake up. The sheeple need to wake up because they're asleep.
Again, there are places in that country that have not been majority British for years. Birmingham is the place where a lot of this violence is taking place. It's where, you know, the videos last week of the Muslim gangs running around and attacking people, just drinking in pubs. That was Birmingham. A lot of the videos that you're seeing of the Muslim gangs running around attacking people, they're not minorities. They're the majority in that area. Birmingham's the second biggest, I think, or maybe Manchester, but both of these, and London as well, the biggest metropolitan centers in the UK are all majority non-British. So what do you think Britain's going to look like when it's majority Muslim? And it, without intervention, it is going to be. This isn't like a, well, if things keep going like this, it's going to get bad. Like, you know, look at the demographics. Look at the age and sex of the people coming over. You know, right now, UK is about 75% white still. But the vast majority of that populace is elderly and is going away. So when you're in a place like Birmingham, where years ago, the immigration influx means that the majority of people living there are foreign, it's not like everything becomes great there. It's not like this is not an issue there or whatever. It becomes significantly worse. It's mobs of Muslims running around beating up every white person they find. And that's just one little part of the country, while there's still 3 native British for every 1 Muslim overall in the entire country. But wherever they get a majority, they're in charge. And that's just how it works. Guys, we can bring up the call screen. We'll go out to calls here momentarily. There's a, I don't know, never heard of the Article 61 that he was talking about. Unless he's going all the way back to Article 61 of the Magna Carta, which would be pretty wild. I'm not sure what he means by Article 61. They'll have to activate that. Let's go to your calls now. Clip line number 2, Dragonfly in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Dragonfly, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Harrison? Yeah, I wanted to talk about some stuff in nature that mirrors Democratic and deep state strategies, because they use what's found in nature and mathematics and astrology, God's grand design, as part of strategies implemented. And one of the things that makes all of us feel like we're in Alice in Wonderland, you know, living in the rabbit hole, is this constant spinning of all these topics, things that the Democratic media machine spits out. And that's part of what I like to call like the dragonfly strategy, because the dragonfly is known in the nature, in the natural world, as the animal living creature that has the highest predatory success rate in killing and capturing and eating what it goes after, sometimes upwards of 98%, to give you some perspective, like a lion or a wolf is at like 30-40%. You know, packs of wolves can go a little bit higher when they're pack hunters. A falcon, peregrine falcon, dive bombing at 200 miles per hour goes out into the 50%, along with like great white sharks. And the way the dragonfly is able to do such an amazing success rate is by its ability to fly and attack in all directions. It's able to fly backward. It's able to do maneuvers that only like jet air fighter aircraft can do, the Heimlich maneuver. And I think since they're implementing that strategy, that we should, the right side, conservative side, because we have the best topics. We have a good economy and prices for groceries that are sustainable, you know, like $10 for a gallon of Tropicana orange juice. That's insanity. Yeah. You know, $12 for a pack of cigarettes. Don't tell me with AI and nuclear power, those prices aren't just getting turning into a scam by Uncle Scam. You know, abortion, post-birth abortion, peace, cheap energy, quality of living and standards of living. Other animals also are, you know, you can look into it, like the African wild dog also is in the 90% range for a predatory success rate. And it does that by outchasing what it's chasing, sometimes chasing the animal, its prey, up to 2.1 miles or 2.2 miles, exhausting it, which I think is also a strategy that we should use, because I think we have better stamina because they're mostly, I think, fueled by narcotics and Satanism. You know, right. The energy pool that they're pulling from is one of the void and darkness.
So how do we implement this? Because I agree with you. And this is the bizarre part, is it's like our side is offering like prosperity and freedom and just all these wonderful, great things as you're listing out. And then the other side just goes, yeah, but they're Hitler and everybody is against us all of a sudden. So it's like, how do we implement what you're talking about here when reality doesn't actually impact their belief system or their voting process? Like, it's how do you inject reality into this delusion of theirs?
Well, I think they're, a lot of the people you're talking about are fake it, like prices, and especially
you're breaking up there, Dragonfly. Sorry, could you start that answer again?
I was saying that, can you hear me okay?
I hear you now.
Okay, I think a majority of the people you're talking about are pretending to be asleep. They're not actually asleep. They're well aware of the grocery store prices, of the inflation, especially in the world and post-assassination of Donald Trump, where they almost blew his brains out on TV. I think they're well aware and they're faking it. And what they're trying to do is make us comply to their insanity world, their Alice in Wonderland version of the world, with like child mutilation and, you know, the laundry list. You have the best laundry list of that. But how you were saying how to employ it, implement these strategies, is like how they do it, you know, and how you see J.D. Vance now, who is able to lay out coherently and in long form, in a style, the Trump talking points, which Trump kind of does in his New Yorker style. So they're kind of doing the same thing to a different degree of viciousness, because of their style. And you guys do the same thing, obviously, each week. If you count, you guys cover thousands of different topics, yeah. You know, but I'm just, you know, back to the dragonfly, Japanese, they call it Katsumushi is the old name for it, and it's a victory insect. So I think now, so close to the election, we need to think about strategies and brainstorming strategies.
Because we don't have time to be missing our target. I get exactly what you're saying. Stuff. We'll be right back, folks.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country, of high end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula? Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I hate to use this analogy, but truth is the way to go, so I'll just use it. I remember growing up with all four of my grandparents. And first my dad's dad died, and then his mother died, and then my mother's father died, and my mother's mother died. And they were all amazing, and you think they're always going to be there. But one day they're dead. Well, it's the same thing with InfoWars. We've barely survived in the last few years, like right up to millimeters. And people then go, well, you're still on air. You must be invincible. We are shot up. The operation's bleeding to death. And that's okay. We've done our mission, and we're going to continue on even if this operation shut down. But that said, I don't want to prove to you by not going 100% and us shutting down that I wasn't BSing about this. We are very, very, very close to being shut down. And literally, the final products we have in come in at InfoWarsStore.com could be the last time you get them. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, a lot of strategy. There's a good chance, 50-50, we can stay on air. But if we don't get funding, we will shut down. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get amazing products. Now, these three have been bestsellers. And these are the last runs of them, unless we get a deal done in the next few months. So we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We have the Vitamin C with zinc and the rose hips that's so incredible. And we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, all discounted. But this could easily be the final run. So I need your support, plus they're great products. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, whatever you do, share the article, share the videos, and pray for the broadcast. You've kept us on air this long, and I'm very thankful to all of you. But we are now at go moment here with this election, everything going on. We need your support now. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and support us in this critical time.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Not too many people are realizing that what's happening here is obviously deliberate. Let me go to a powerful video, a monologue by Neil Oliver in the next segment. Well, let's go out to your phone calls. Now, I've got John in Argentina. Thanks for calling in, John. You are on the air with a history lesson for us. Go ahead, John.
Hey, morning, Harrison. You know, my favorite saying from Mark Twain is, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of that now. There's a direct line from the Chicago School back through the Frankfurt School in Germany, back to the Weimar Republic in Germany, where the first transsexual surgery was done. As you know, you've covered that before.
Yep.
And then back to the Russian Revolution, which I think is our best template what's going on now. And the first thing that the Politburo did when they were installed in Russia was to outlaw anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a good reason for that. So I would just like to encourage people to do their history and not just accept what they're given. And one other thing, there's a kind of a template that you might find useful.
Yeah.
I think you've noticed that some Jews are in support of Trump and some would do anything to seeing killed or put in prison. The template is what we're called in now, just to go right to the chase, is a competition between secular Jews and Orthodox Jews. And I see it here in Argentina. The Orthodox are solidly behind Milei, as they are behind Trump. And Santiago Abascal in Spain, this is a template that's going on all over the world. The Ukrainian war is primarily secular run. If you look at the people, they're all secular Jews. Whereas the Gaza operation is mostly Orthodox driven. So it's just a template you can use. Maybe it might be helpful to you and your listeners.
Yeah, that is interesting. And of course, you can follow the Russian Revolution back to the expulsions of Jews under the Tsar in the late 1800s and the socialist communist activists who were expelled from Ukraine and other places in Russia going to Israel and creating the kibbutz system for the first time several decades before Israel became a country. But it was those same people that then returned to Russia to set up the Politburo. And it should make anybody suspicious that this atheistic communism that bans religion itself and converts churches into, centers of the Soviet, right? Soviets is just the Russian word for kibbutz. It's councils, town councils, basically. And it's very suspicious that this atheistic political system would ban criticism of a religion. But they did, and there's not a lot of reasonable explanation for that. There is explanation though. Thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Dave in Arizona now. You want to talk about how the civil culture war is becoming a civil war, I believe. But go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
So yeah, here in the United States, I recognized when they burned down Somaliopolis on May 25th that we were in a full blown culture war. And I anticipated it would turn into a civil war, but I have challenges with that because I don't think it's going to be two Americans fighting each other. I mean, we're in a full-fledged illegal invader melee now. Unfortunately, in UK, it's gone full bore. And the reason that they're cracking down so hard on the natural-born UK residents is because they need to go minority report before Bugs Life happens. While the white people are still cowering in their house, they can control them if they come out. And that guy that talked with the face paint, I would be shocked that he's not the first public lynching. Right. Once the authorities get a hold of him, they'll want to send a message right away. Right. The 6'4" guy can't stand with a flag and defend his people. So it's, the old Lenin quote, there are decades in which nothing happens, there are weeks in which decades happen, is true. So I used to think we were a decade behind the UK, but I think it'll be in our doorsteps here in the next week or month because we've got 30 million illegal invaders. And as that gentleman pointed out, the people that cross our southern border are not fleeing oppression. They'd bring their wives and their mothers and their cousins and their nieces and their nephews. They're illegal invaders that come alone because they're gearing up for the battle of war, right?
100%.
The other thing I wanted to mention.
That was a point I made week about the Brits and people calling this a civil war. It's like, no, this is a native population fighting off an invasion from outside. It's not a civil war in any sense of the term, except that the rulers of that country are on the side of the invaders. Which, I mean, that's the only civil aspect to this, is that people who claim to be speaking for and running Britain are, in fact, the ones facilitating and arming and allowing the activities of the foreign invaders. So, yeah, it's not going to be British people fighting British people.
Yeah, my label would be, respectfully, it's an inverse revolutionary war. In Antifa and BLM and the foreign invaders or the foot soldiers for the military-industrial complex, the establishment class is what I call them, all the people in power of all the industries, Facebook, media, all those people, they love to tamp down on we the people and take our rights away because then they can confiscate our money. It's money laundering 101 with all the tax burdens. And that's what's going on in the UK. The other thing, I think it's really an inverse revolutionary war, and they're afraid of when we turn the screws and we turn it around on them, because they know there's more of us, and at least in the United States, we have way more guns than they do, than the two million military members. I also wanted to mention, you mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, because I've signed up to the DNC site, so I got a ticket to go to the Harris Waltz event here in Glendale on Friday, and people on our side do such a disservice when they peddle misinformation. I think they intentionally lack discernment because they just want to feed a narrative. There were 11,000 people in there. I walked the entire site. They were all real. It was pathetic. I mean, it's a place that holds 19,000. There's about 2 million people live in Phoenix proper, 5 million that live in Phoenix metro. So to get 11,000 people is not a big deal. But people were, you know, posting all over social media. I'm not on Twix. They won't let me back on. But on Getter, I looked at stuff. And they were like, you had to verify an ID, and that goes against what they say for voting. I didn't verify an ID. My email address has nothing to do with my name. There's no picture on my email. So these people just keep spinning disinformation, and it really does our side a huge disservice. So keep shining the light of truth on that stuff, sir.
Well, thank you. And yeah, again, I just want to tell the truth here. And, you know, it would be very easy to, like, run with fake conspiracy stories, you know, showing the reflection of the plane and saying, see, this whole, you know, audience is fake. But, like, it's not true, so I'm not going to do that. Like, it's not really that complicated. I'm just going to tell you the truth and what I see, and it looks like Kamala Harris is getting big crowds. Now, that doesn't mean she's popular by any means, but it does mean she gets big crowds, and you can draw whatever conclusions you want from there. Let me ask, did it seem like the people that were there, so you got a free ticket because you signed up on this email list? So, I mean, that alone is kind of like, you know, it's different than Trump coming to town and you got to, you know, make your way there and hope you can get a spot because, you know, it's impossible to get in. So they're inviting people through this DNC list. The people that were there, did you interact with anybody? What was the attitude like, and were they there because they actually love Kamala, or were they Kamala? It's like Somalia. Like what was the attitude of the people there? Were they pumped up for Kamala? Were they just there because they wanted to do something? I mean, what was the attitude and the purpose of people being there?
The people I sat next to, a couple of retired military. So we spoke specifically about Waltz and the stolen valor. And they said the best thing that he could do would be to resign and not run as vice president. But they were complete ideologues, sir. So really? they just hate Trump more than they like anybody else.
Of course. Of course. I'm not surprised in the slightest. Thank you so much for that call, Dave. Very informative. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones here with a call of action, a call to action for all the patriots out there watching or listening to this transmission. We can't fight the globalists without your support. And I can't think of an organization or group out there other than President Trump that has had more of an effect against the New World Order than this operation. And that's because of the grace of God and your support and our intrepid crew. And I'm asking you now, at a critical time going into this election, when the enemy is trying to shut everybody down and put everybody in prison, to double down and support the broadcast more than ever, to share the articles, the videos, the links, and to get the products at InfoWarsStore.com. So, 2.5 years ago, one of our great supporters and sponsors came forward and said, you ought to sell collectible cards with a little ingot of gold in it. These are very, very popular. And I went and looked it up online. It is very, very popular. It's not an investment. It's a collectible. If you want to get gold or silver and get the best prices on it, that's Dr. Kirk Elliott and KEPM.com/gold. Best group out there, highest ratings, amazing prices, the best. This is a collectible and a memento to know you supported the broadcast. Then the bankruptcy started, and the people that came in from the court said, we're not going to keep outside people's products in here in your store. And they kicked them back to the folks, despite the fact that we'd already sold out of half of these in just a month. Well, now that I'm back in control of the company, and now that InfoWars itself is not in bankruptcy, I am able to offer these again, and this will help keep us on air. InfoWars has teamed up with one of the nation's leading mints to help you acquire this 24-karat .999 pure gold without paying thousands of dollars an ounce. Stock up on 24-karat .999 pure gold in the most popular size of 1/10 gram, an affordable, sleek card that fits your wallet, drawer, glove compartment, and is easy to travel with. They're amazing cards. It's got original art I came up with. It's got the little bar of gold in there, and it just lets you know that you supported the InfoWar. You'll have a historical memento as a keepsake for yourself, for your family, for your children, and your grandchildren, because this is a historic fight, and this is a true piece of Americana that we have here. So I'm very, very proud of it. Again, we sold out of half of these a couple years ago. They got put back to the company that paid to have them made. Now that I'm back in control, they shipped them back into our warehouse, and the other half are available right now. I would imagine they'll sell out in a month or so. We've only got a few thousand of these left, and I cannot fund this operation without you doing this. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not telling you to buy this as a gold investment. That's not what this is. There's a little piece of gold in there. This is like on NPR, that still gets taxpayer money. They'll sell a coffee mug that costs them $5 or a baseball cap that costs them $10, and you make a $100 donation, and you get that as a memento that you supported communism and the New World Order. I know you don't want to do that. This costs, I think they told me, more than $10 per card, something like that, $10 or $11. And so the other $80-something dollars will go to fund the operation. We need these funds to continue on in the fight. So get your collectible card, your piece of art, with the little piece of gold in it today, and you will help keep us on air. The decision is yours. This is a limited edition. It's something that people like. It's popular, and it's something that's collectible. But regardless, the real value is knowing you stood up for America at such a critical time that myself and President Trump and others are under such massive, massive, massive levels of attack. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and get the exclusive InfoWars Limited Edition proprietary 24-karat 999 pure gold collectible. Thank you for your support. Get this collectible now and help keep us on air.
To John in Ohio on line 9. Go ahead, John. You are on the air talking about an influx of migrants resettled in your area. Well, lucky you, John. You're being enriched, I hear.
I mean, like, some of these people, they're good people, honest people trying to work. But then there's, you know, just like with every group of people that just don't want to do anything. But they're like a huge group of Uzbeks that have settled in Cincinnati area over the past year. All they do is Uber, and they sit around and just like go to these different stores all day long, just sit in the lobby, complain, cause issues at the restaurants. And it's just like crazy, because I'm like, how do these people even have IDs to get on Uber to be able to handle people's food for them? And it's just hard for me to understand, like, that most immigrants are doing Uber. Like, 50% of their jobs are Uber. So,
yeah, you wouldn't think delivering food to people that actually work would be enough to sustain an entire population. But that's what your tax dollars are for. There's a phenomenon. It's called standing around. It's where you get migrants to go to places, and they just spend all day, every day, sort of loitering, or just standing around, just not doing anything. It's very bizarre, and it's unimaginable the number of people who just don't do anything all day. It is shocking. I mean, if you're listening to my voice, you probably work. And if not, there's probably some reason, like, I don't know, maybe you're disabled and, you know, you'd like to work but can't. But for people that, like, work every day and have families and have activities that they do and, you know, all this sort of stuff, it's hard for us to even imagine a life where your calendar is just empty every single day from now until forever. But that's how these, and you know, I notice it within, it's not just a migrant thing, right? It's like it's a welfare thing. It's a thing you can do if you're on welfare, is you could just, you actually are incentivized not to do anything all day. And so, you know, I notice it when I watch, like, you know, crime documentaries, that sort of thing. You watch interrogation videos. I mentioned this before, but, you know, they ask, they're like, okay, so walk us through your day. You know, what did you do last Tuesday? And it's like, I don't know. I woke up around noon. I went to this gas station. My buddy over here was doing something, so I went over there. And it's like, okay, what'd you do Wednesday? Okay, I woke up around 11 that day, and I walked to this area, and I got lunch here. And it's just like all day, every day, really every single day of your life is just whatever. You just wandering around, just seeing what you can get up to. I mean, it is wild. Yeah.
It's just wild. Crazy because, like, yesterday I was just at Wendy's, and this guy comes in. Spoke no English at all. He just throws his phone in the worker's face, says, give me, like, doesn't even say, give me this. Just keeps pounding his phone in her face. And then, like, he's trying to tell him what drink to get. He gets the drink, instantly walks out the door, opens it, and just starts drinking out the person's cup. And they're like, "What? How do we even argue with this guy to say, like, I can't give you the food and stuff like this?" And I'm like, this is a mess.
It's all nuts. It's all just completely nuts. It really is. Thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Ms. Lou in Florida. So I hadn't heard of this. Ms. Lou, you're talking about GOP investigating foreign donations to the DNC. Go ahead, Ms. Lou, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, thanks for taking my call. Listen, real quick, I just want to give the DUH headline of the day from Just the News. That okay. The GOP House has decided to investigate whether there are foreign influences monetarily in the Democrat coffers. They're not even, they're gone for a month on vacation, and they're just now, less than 90 days out, wanting to investigate whether foreign money is coming into the Democrats. I'll tell you what, half these crowds that we're seeing from Miss Kamala are paid. Guaranteed.
You know, they're
guaranteed. There's paid incentive to get out, and it doesn't need IA when you give a bunch of people money to show up for a crowd or have, you know, Megan Thee Stallion. You know, I mean, it's just anything. But and I want you to research this if you can. I know that Alex knows him. Trevor, and you probably do too. Trevor Loudon is an international researcher in global communism. And right now he's focused on, he just wrote a book about Camilla and her communist ties. Camilla, Kamala, who the, I call her Kamila. Anyway, he just wrote a book about her ties to the communist factions. And he did a video, it's on X, about her ties to the CCP. Now, Walt is a whole other level. And there was a guy last night, I believe it was on Chase's show, but who called in, who had been with Walt, and he was with him in China.
Yeah,
and I don't know if this guy was in the military.
I saw that. Chase put that out on
yeah.
On tell me the name of the guy you said again, Trevor somebody?
Trevor Loudon, Loudon. He was in New Zealand as a reporter, and then now he has a website, trevorloudon.com. He also has an X page.
Okay, we'll try to get him on. Yeah, thank you for that. No, you're exactly right about everything that you're saying. Could not be more right. I just want to get to a few more calls before we close out the show. Let's go to Mike in Michigan first. You want to talk about the stabbing of this mother and child in the UK? And yes, it has been confirmed that this was a mother and her child. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Harris, can I switch the topic?
Go ahead.
I wanted to bring up You know, like 80% of Israel is owned by the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, these people are, like, the anti-Semitism thing. People are disguised as Jews. These are Luciferians. You know, we're going from the British pound to the U.S. dollar. Next is going to be invisible money. Mm-hmm. That's how they have such large influence on the U.S. politics and everything, is because these are all people you know, and the Luciferian religions that are, you know, if you believe in Christ and Christianity, then you know about the Antichrist, and that's what they're pushing for. So I think this kind of stuff is inevitable. It's all, you know.
It's all a very long time coming. I was going to make a joke about that, just with everything going on in the UK. That's like, man, it's crazy to think that this all stems from, you know, Napoleon losing at Waterloo and Nathaniel Rothschild buying up all the British economy. I mean, this stuff, you know, what we're seeing happen now is the culmination of things that started in process centuries ago, quite literally. But go ahead, Mike, final comments?
And it's reported, too, that they own 80% of the global currency, the $500 trillion. Did you read about that? That came out as like some type of, I think it was Forbes or something, saying something about it.
They own everything. They own everything. Let's not be naive. They own absolutely everything. I mean, they own everything in terms of percentages, right? Like BlackRock and Vanguard owns the majority stake in just about every corporation you can name. You know, that's controlled by a very few elite families such as the Rothschilds. And they're not the only ones. There are others that you can look into. But it's not just that. It's like they own every castle in Europe pretty much. I mean, they transmute their, you know, invisible nonsense imaginary money into owning castles and Riviera, you know, things on the French Riviera and wineries and corporations. Yeah, they own everything. So, you know, they have supplanted and eliminated the European nobility, replaced themselves, and they operate with the same level of impunity and immunity from the laws of mortals, but they have absolutely no, you know, noble obligations that would come with an actual nobility or an actual royal family. They simply control and own and operate everything, but without any actual connection. You know, the idea behind royalty was like the king was going to do what was right for England, because the better England did, the better he did. So it was just pure, like, for his own, any sort of like self-aggrandizement meant that he was actually aggrandizing the entire country and it would be good for everybody. These people aren't tied to the country. They're tied to the monetary systems, which are international. So there's no obligation for them. No blesse oblige. And we've talked about that quite a bit on this program and this platform. But that's going to be it for us here on this Monday morning broadcast. We will see you again tomorrow morning. Stay tuned for the Alex Jones Show. It begins in about 90 seconds. And tune in tonight. We may be covering the Elon Musk-Donald Trump interview on X. I'll have to figure out exactly what we're going to do for that. But InfoWars will be live for the Trump return to Twitter tonight at 7 p.m. Stay here.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. And we're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/go.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.